Hey there, everybody. I'm Heather Gray, aka The Line Boss. Welcome to this next episode of The Line Boss Podcast. Today we have a very special guest, Miss Whitney Morgan. And the reason why she's so special is she was one of my mentors. Like a lot, I'd say like 80% of the stuff that I spew to the world has been from this woman. So like,
I
love her. I've always loved her no nonsense, like direct to the point, because that's the way that I talk to. And I don't see a whole lot of that out there. And so we're going to uncover all kinds of stuff today on whether does quick fixes really work when it comes to weight loss. You know, if you have Hashimoto's, do you really have to be gluten-free? You know, those are going to be just some of the topics we're going to cover on today's episode. But let's welcome Miss Whitney Morgan to the show.
Thank you, Heather. I'm so happy to be here. I've been looking forward to this for so long, and we had to reschedule, and I was like, God damn it. You know, because you are a bright light for me too. So thank you so much.
No, thank you. Yeah. Like I said, you're very, you can attest to this. There's not a whole lot of information that out there that collaborate with what we talk about when it comes to like going grain-free, going gluten-free, and how, you know, going beyond gluten-free, especially when it comes to autoimmune and Hashimoto's. And I can't even, like, how many conferences I've been to lately in a room full of functional practitioners who are all going down the buffet line, eating wheat, eating corn. Mm-hmm. And it makes my head explode.
Oh, yeah.
So, talk to me. Talk to us. Like, why is this so important?
Well, you know, I think there's a lot to unpack there. Because when it comes right down to it, you know, I think we're all kind of addicted to different things, right? Food is a huge, powerful, I mean, from a cultural standpoint, from socializing to, you know, sometimes we've got all kinds of things wrapped up, like food is love, food is comfort, food is where I go when I'm angry, whatever it is. But also, it's like we've been programmed to think that grains are like, should be the center of everything, right? And if you take grains away, I can't count the number of times I've heard, well, then what is there to eat? It's like, oh my holy God, are you kidding me? I mean, it's like, do you realize we have not been eating grains that long, evolutionarily speaking? Okay. And when we started eating them, that's when the wheels fell off the bus anyway, you know, for all kinds of reasons. But yeah, it's amazing just how tightly we cling to those things. And even in the functional nutrition and functional medicine world, yeah, you see practitioners who, couple of things. Either they're just classically not walking the talk, right? Or they're part of that group of folks that really want to tell people what they want to hear.
Mm.
You know, it's like trying to find a way where we can have this fantasy bubble where gluten is healthy for some people, right? It's like, no, it's not. It's not good for anybody. It's like saying refined sugar is healthy for some people. No, it's not.
You know, there's a practitioner out there though. Is that Ray Peets? Have you ever paid attention to his work? Ray Peets is like, his followers are truly bizarre, but he does some healing of candida with sugar.
Oh, you got to be kidding. Now that's like someone who's misunderstood homeopathy. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm sorry, you can't treat candida with sugar. How funny is that?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, there are a lot of practitioners out there who, and I see it all the time, who will tell people, oh, well, you know, as long as you heal and seal the gut, you can eat anything, you can reintroduce anything and you'll be fine. It doesn't matter what your diagnosis is. It doesn't matter what your food sensitivities are, right? That gluten can be a healthy part of your life moving forward. And I look at it as two ways. They either don't know what the hell they're talking about, okay? Or they're more invested in taking your money than telling you the truth and giving you the advice that can truly help you heal.
Or I think there's a third, there's some ignorance, right? Ignorance is bliss in that where they still don't see or don't know that correlation. Because other than you, Dr. Tom O'Brien, which I actually just had on my show, and that should come out in a few weeks. And then Dr. Peter Osborne. I mean, so like the three of you, out of all the practitioners that I follow, the three of you are the only ones that I know talking like this, and, you know, probably the Vibrant folks as well, because they actually see it with the labs that they're running, right? When you run a wheat zoomer compared to a traditional food sensitivity test, you're going to see just how wheat is affecting, how dairy is affecting, you know, your brain and all these different parts of your body. And so I just, anytime I'm confused by what I'm seeing out there, I still have you in my head. I still hear your voice in my head. And it's just, and I love it because you are, you're still a guiding light, because there are still so many people. Like, I just got an FDN's referral from another FDN, and she calls herself some sort of a gut healer, right? And thought that it was Lyme. Could it be Lyme? You know, she's still having these gut issues. I'm like, well, yeah, it could be Lyme, but let's take a look. You know, she's filling out her intake form. She's eating oats. She's eating rice. She's still eating some pasta. And then I kind of find out that she had a wheat zoomer and popped hot all over that wheat zoomer. But I think the original coach didn't have the backbone to set that type of precedent with her. And then when I tried, oh my God, she yelled at me. If that's what I have to do to get better, then I'm not going to do it. I'm like, okay.
Right.
You know, let's unpack that a little. And she did not want to unpack that at all, you know, and that's all you can do. Right. But at least I planted a seed. At least I stood in my truth. Right.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. That's all you can do. And I think you're right that it boils down to that other piece of fear, right? It's so much easier to jump down some esoteric rabbit hole, like, you know, like mycotoxins or Lyme or some heavy metals or whatever, than it is to deal with what someone's doing 24/7, which is actually putting stuff into their gut environment, right? God forbid you say, hey, change your lifestyle, and that'll actually get you 80% of the way there. Then when you do that, then we can, you know, jump down these other rabbit holes and clean up the other 20%. But I always tell people, you know, I'm not even going to work with you if you're not willing to give up anything in your food or drink environment. You have to be all in, because you can't supplement that shit away. You can't detox it away. It's never going to work for you. So sure, there are a lot of people out there that'll take your money, sell you a bunch of supplements and all kinds of detox fixes, and you'll make a little progress here and there, but it's always 2 steps forward, 10 steps back. And then 6 months down the road, you're one of those people showing up on my, you know, meet and greet calls saying, I've tried everything. I've done this and this and this, and I've spent $10,000 and, you know, but still clinging to that, I'll do anything but.
Right.
You know, don't tell me I have to give up gluten forever. You know, it's like, well, okay, well, then you're not sick enough. You're not desperate enough. You're not scared enough. You're not in enough pain. You're not, you know, you're not at rock bottom yet. Right. That's what that means.
You have a good story too of kind of having to have a come to Jesus meeting with your family, right?
Oh, yeah.
You go into a little bit of your story and the backbone that you had to find. And I have to coach a lot of my clients, especially women. Mm-hmm. It's so sad because they're putting their kids first. They're putting their partners first. They're putting their work first. They're putting everything else first. And that's part of the reason why women have higher, you know, incidence of autoimmune disease, is because we're putting ourselves on the back burner. But tell us a little bit about your story.
Yeah. Well, gosh, I mean, it was such a long trajectory, but I'll try and condense it. So in 1996, I got psoriasis. And then, about 2000, I got interstitial cystitis. Then I got Hashimoto's. Then they found my celiac disease in 2010 by a fluke, because I could eat a piece of pizza to this day and I won't have a GI reaction. That's not me. I'm a silent celiac. So I got panic attacks in my 20s. That was my red flag. It was the panic. And that's pretty classic for silent celiacs. It manifests in the brain. So panic and anxiety were my clue. But no one was talking about that stuff then. Right. I mean, no one knew that gluten could impact the brain. That wasn't where the research was. So in 2010, when they found my celiac disease, I mean, I had already been on this healing journey. I had already made the decision to get off the traditional medicine path. And for me, that was a big deal, because everyone in my family is in traditional medicine. My dad was a surgeon, my mom an OR nurse, my sister's a doctor. I mean, in our house, medicine was religion, right? I mean, that was it. Mm-hmm. So you always went to the cream of the crop, the specialists, you know, no GPs for us. It was that kind of a family.
Man, and then you went and became an acupuncturist. Talk about black sheep.
Oof. That's right. Yeah, I had some black sheep moments there with my family. But I was in my doctor's office, and he's the head of urology, and this was after being diagnosed with interstitial cystitis. And for anyone who doesn't know what that is, it's like, imagine the worst urinary tract infection of your life. And it's 24/7. Nothing takes the edge off. Okay. And it's forever, right? It's never going to go away. So he says to me, he says, okay, this isn't going to kill you, but you'll die with it. Mm-hmm. It's going to get worse. Nothing can be done. We'll try to manage the pain. You should join a support group. And there I was, like 40-year-old, you know, single mom with a lot of life ahead of me and a new partner, actually. And it's like, okay, I'm never going to have sex again because it's too painful. I'm never going to, right? Never going to sleep through the night. And every cell in my body just said no. And I just walked out of that office. I didn't know what I was going to do, but I knew I have to find a different way. I have to get off this path, right? It's not like I rejected traditional medicine completely, because I love doctors. I love the diagnostics. They do what they do very well, but I had to find another way. And so I started getting acupuncture, found a naturopath, started, you know, doing a lot of self-teaching and research, fell in love with acupuncture and went to acupuncture school. But they actually diagnosed my celiac disease when I was in acupuncture school. Yeah. And I woke up from my endoscopy, and my GI doc is like, man, I'm floored, because I've never seen this before, because you don't present like a celiac. You have full-blown celiac disease. He's like, you know, have to do the blood work to confirm it, but I'm almost 100% certain. And it was like the best news I could have ever gotten, because I knew enough by that time. It was like, oh my God. The missing piece.
Right.
So then I jumped down the hole of celiac disease and gluten sensitivity, non-celiac gluten sensitivity, you know, Cyrex and Zoomers and all kinds of stuff. Tom O'Brien. And then it all fit together. It's like, well, of course, my celiac disease activated in my 20s. That's my panic attack. I had active celiac disease this whole time, but my only symptoms were panic, anxiety, and collecting autoimmune diseases.
Right.
Yeah. So
by the time I was 43, I think I had collected 3 autoimmune diseases myself.
Women are very good collectors.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was the easiest thing in the world. I was like, no problem. I'll give up gluten. I don't care. Right. Easy peasy. Not everyone has that reaction, right? I understand that. I was in a totally different headspace. But yeah, so it was easy for me to give it up, but I did what every other person does typically, which is I went gluten-free. Everyone in my house kept eating it. I didn't know enough to realize the risk of the cross-contamination that was just so pervasive. So, you know, I tried to put this bubble around myself in my own house, and I kept getting not worse, but I kept running into obstacle after obstacle and not healing. So finally, when I developed these weird symptoms that were on my hands, where I couldn't touch anything.
Ouch.
And it was red, hypersensitive, swollen. I would walk around like this, you know, I was in pain all the time. And here I was learning to be an acupuncturist, and I'm thinking, right. Oh my God, there goes all that money. I'm not going to be able to do what I love. And finally, I just, you know, my naturopath and I had a long talk, and she's like, I don't know what it is, but we know you've got celiac disease, you know, and we kind of guessed together. It's that. That's the primary core thing for you. It's the celiac disease. So I went home and I just said to my husband, it's me or the gluten. I'm prepared to move out. I'm prepared to get my own apartment. I'm not going to leave you, but I'm not going to live with you. Right. And so So yeah, I mean, we had two daughters at home and they were teenagers and it was a big deal. But for me, it was like, you know, that it really clicked. It was like, oh, okay, this isn't going to kill me immediately, like if I had an anaphylactic response, but it's going to kill me, right? And the people around me are going to watch me really deteriorate. And, you know, it'll take decades off my life. And so it's like, okay, you know, I have to put myself first. And I was willing. I mean, I wasn't bluffing. I was willing. You know, just like, okay, I'm going to get my own place, keep myself safe. And to this day, I mean, I see it in the lab work all the time when, you know, I run a wheat zoomer on everyone. It's non-negotiable. And I have people all the time say, well, I don't need that because I've been gluten-free for 10 years. Blah, 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 blah. Like, you know, no one's as gluten-free as they think they are. Right. And maybe you're a unicorn. Maybe you're doing it right. Maybe you're able to quarantine yourself in your own house because 99% of people do not live in a gluten-free house, even though they've gone gluten-free, you know, but we have to confirm that. So prove it. That I require you to prove it. And then I'll shut up about it, you know, and every single time. The wheat zoomer pops and they're like, I don't understand. Now it's like, okay, now we get to solve the mystery. Now we get to find out where it's coming in.
Yeah. I did the disservice to a client who came in more as a DIY program. And then I noticed that after about 2-3 months that we weren't getting the results that I thought we should get with her. And she was still eating out a lot.
Yeah.
Like a lot. And finally, yeah. I was like, dude, we need to do a zoomer. Like, we got to back up a little bit because I need you to get your eyes on this to see. She's having horrible colitis, IBS type symptoms. And it's like, no, you go out to eat and you're going to get contaminated. And it's just going to start that whole, you know, most people don't realize that it takes 3 to 6 months, right? Yes. With that contamination to get that inflammation down in your gut. And so all those right. beautiful supplements, all that, everything. You know, I've even had a couple of people are like, I only have a piece of toast like once every 3 or 4 months. And I'm like, well, bingo, that's just enough to keep that fire burning this whole time and you not heal it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the kind of like transactional diet response. Like, you know, that mentality of, oh, I can cheat every once in a while and it's okay, right? But that's not the way it is with gluten. You're right. It takes 3 to 6 months. And so if you have, you know, a little bit of gluten on your birthday and a little bit on Christmas or New Year's or Easter, it's like, okay, you're inflamed all year long. And, you know, there are worse things than being gluten-free.
Oh, my God.
Having MS, having scleroderma, having Hashimoto's, having, you know, name it. I mean, just
anxiety, depression.
That's like, right.
And I love that's unpack the cheating thing a little bit too, because that's a fun one that I've been working with my clients lately. It's like, you know, would you allow your husband to cheat on you? And emphatically they say no. Right. And I'm like, then why do you cheat on yourself?
Yes.
Because that is what you're doing.
Yes.
I'm just going to have a cheat date. And they make it sound like it's this innocent little thing. And it's like, it makes my head explode every single time.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Now, I mean, I have what I call a free day once a week, but that doesn't include gluten or corn or cow dairy or grains. It doesn't include any of that.
Right.
It just means I'm going to carb out a little bit on some really good almond bread and I'm going to, you know, have maybe 2 or 3 lattes and a glass of wine or a little tequila in my kombucha.
Some siete grain feed
chips. Yes, you know. Yes, exactly. But we have to like change our perspective on what it means to cheat or to kind of go a little crazy and celebrate. You can still do that, but you have to maintain certain guardrails. And being gluten-free is absolutely non-negotiable. There's no cheating on that, mm-hmm. right? Not if it's truly what you need.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So talk to us a little bit about the correlation between Hashimoto's and gluten.
Yeah, it's really interesting because, well, there's a few correlations. For starters, gluten causes a leaky gut in everybody. It doesn't matter if you're sensitive to it. Gluten's very hard on the gut. It raises zonulin levels in the gut, which dysregulate those tight junctions, and then a lot of undigested food proteins and, you know, bacterial toxins get through, all kinds of stuff, right? Leaky gut is the gateway to autoimmunity, right? So we don't want that. And this is why healing and sealing the gut doesn't mean squat when it comes to gluten, because the minute you have that gluten, your gut's going to get leaky again, right? So it doesn't really matter. Okay, so it causes a leaky gut. Then you have the lectin of wheat, which is called wheat germ agglutinin. It is the big bad lectin of all the plant lectins. It can attach to almost every tissue in the body except two, and it really loves the thyroid. So wheat germ also degrades the gut lining. It gets through, it goes in the bloodstream. It can go anywhere, but it loves to go to the thyroid. So it swims to your thyroid, it attaches, and then your immune system sees it and goes, oh, you don't belong there. And it goes after it. And then the surrounding tissue gets destroyed. And that's autoimmunity by collateral damage. I think that's a phrase that Tom O'Brien coined,
right?
But it's very, very apt description. And then there's also part of the thyroid tissue that has molecular mimicry with the gluten protein, where the immune system there, you know, the gluten is a big clunky protein. It's very complex. And then some of our body tissues are the same way. It's all protein, right? And the immune system is swimming around and it's not seeing the whole protein. It's looking at sections of the protein. And there are certain sections of thyroid tissue and gluten that look almost identical to each other. So the immune system often makes a mistake. And once it tags the thyroid as if it's gluten, okay, now it's going to go after the thyroid because it's tagged it with that enemy tag, right? So gluten is not good for anybody's thyroid. And where we run into trouble really right now is that so many women out there are diagnosed with hypothyroidism, and they'll say to you, well, I don't have Hashi's, I have hypothyroidism. Like, well, okay, but 90% of hypothyroidism is actually undiagnosed Hashimoto's. And the reason why that is because there's just no there's no reason to really investigate Hashimoto's from a traditional medical standpoint, because the treatment for Hashi's and hypo are kind of the same thing. You just get thyroid hormone replacement. But most women that have their thyroid screened, they don't get tested for antibodies, right?
And so try to get your doctors to even test for antibodies sometimes. It's insane how you have to twist their arm to add two little markers on. It's crazy. It's like, what's a T?
That's right. That's right. So if they never look for it, they never find it. So they'll just say you have hypo, right? Or they do test for it and the antibodies are elevated and they say, oh, we'll keep an eye on that. But they never actually tell you what that means. I mean, I can't count the number of clients I've had actually tell me, well, yeah, I had a test once where my antibodies were slightly elevated. And it's like, okay. And then what happened? Well, nothing. It was just, you know, like, okay, well, did they mention Hashimoto's? Ooh, you know, so it's like, okay. So the diagnosis just isn't like part of that process, except in certain situations. I think when the antibodies are wicked sky high, or when you have doctors that are just, I don't know, a bit more engaged and maybe open, progressive, thoughtful. I don't know really. Type A, you know, but it's amazing how many women go undiagnosed, you know? So if you have hypothyroidism, which is almost as prominent as type 2 diabetes, you have to assume that there's a possibility, a good possibility, you could be part of that 90% that actually has Hashimoto's. And in that case, gluten is absolutely a problem for you. And in fact, any woman with Hashimoto's should be screened for celiac disease, because there's 100% correlation between celiac disease and Hashimoto's.
Huh, I had Hashimoto's and I'm celiac.
there you go. And it's not that every Hashimoto's person has celiac disease, but everyone with celiac disease develops Hashimoto's. So there's such a strong correlation that you just have to do your due diligence and rule it out at the very least. But even if you don't have celiac disease, you definitely have non-celiac gluten sensitivity if you have Hashimoto's. There's just no way around it.
Absolutely.
And I've never seen it otherwise.
With stuff like Hashimoto's, which a lot of practitioners don't talk about, but guess what? It can be reversed.
Yes.
I've reversed mine. Yep. Why can't celiac be reversed? Like, I've reversed my endometriosis. I've reversed my Hashimoto's. Well, how come I have not? Why can't you reverse celiac?
Because gluten is the trigger. It's the primary trigger. And the immune system makes memory B cells to gluten. So your gluten, your immune response to gluten will never go away.
Gotcha.
And with people with celiac disease, the location of the autoimmune progression is at the gut lining, right? So it's just, you can be in remission. You can have I have a totally normal small intestine. It looks healthy. You wouldn't know it had celiac disease, but that's because I live the way I live, right? You can reverse the damage.
Right.
And you can live 100% symptom free as long as you're 100% gluten free.
That's awesome.
I mean, that's a cure. That is a freaking cure.
Right.
Right. It's just one of the hardest things that, well, for most people to deal with.
Absolutely. So you had brought up a little bit, you know, we're talking about other grains, and I think this is probably another one that also makes my head freaking explode is that, you know, after doing the grain zoomers and finding out that corn and rice and oats have their own form of gluten.
Yeah.
Right. And they're touted as gluten-free grains.
Right.
Right. Like so many, you know, poor celiacs and poor, you know, people who've got these sensitivities, you know, don't get all the way better. And they just still kind of live with these lingering symptoms that never get better because this is something else that's not talked about very often. So can you touch a little on that?
Yeah, it's cross-reactivity is the big problem. So gluten, just like it looks a lot like your thyroid tissue, it shares some similarities with other grains and also with yeast, like baker's yeast and brewer's yeast, and with cow dairy, right? So there is molecular mimicry between gluten and cow dairy, corn, rice, millet, yeast, oats. So if you have celiac disease or non-celiac gluten sensitivity, the best thing you can do for yourself is just eliminate all those foods, right? Or at the very least, test yourself with zoomers at the level of the peptide for cross-reactive sensitivities. And what I see in my practice is that the big trifecta of cross-reactivity is cow dairy, corn, and wheat. It's like, that seems to be the holy trinity. Like if you're going to have cross-reactivity, that's what you're going to have.
Came up with a new name. They used to be the big bads, and now you're calling it the Holy Trinity.
The Holy Trinity, or maybe the evil Trinity. I don't know. The unholy Trinity.
The unholy Trinity.
But there are people like me who I can eat rice every once in a while. It doesn't bother me. I can eat millet every once in a while. I don't have sensitivities on paper. My immune system doesn't react to those things, so I didn't develop a cross reactivity to those things. But I still don't make them part of my regular diet,
right?
Because that's too risky, right? But corn and cow dairy, my body thinks those are gluten.
Right.
So for a lot of people who go gluten-free, so let's say they're successful. Let's say they live in a gluten-free house. They're 100% gluten-free. But what are they eating more of now? Corn for sure.
Right.
Right. And rice usually and other grains. And, you know, so their consumption of cross-reactive foods go up, and then they don't feel good. And then what their logical conclusion is,
gluten-free didn't work.
Gluten's not a problem for me. Right. So my health coach didn't know what they were talking about.
Right.
Gluten's not the problem because I went gluten-free and it didn't work. I didn't feel better. It's like, you got cross-reactivities.
Right.
So
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yes. Like I said, I've just always loved your conviction because there's a lot of freaking noise out there when it comes to diet. And so much of it can be so confusing and contradictory.
Yeah.
You know, one decade, the egg is the miracle food. And then the next decade it's evil. And now it's back to being good again. Like, you know, it's tough to wade through, and you really, all you can go by is your own personal experience a lot of times, and then what you're seeing in the lab. And I think that's why I gravitated to one, because like I said, too, you also speak very bluntly and to the point. You don't take time to sugarcoat a bunch of shit and, you know, make it confusing. And you were right. We were talking earlier before we got on. There's a lot of marketing crap out there of, you know, if someone tries to tell you that they can get you better within like a month, right?
Right.
Months, you know, right. Quick fix. Same thing that I found even with the business coaches, you know, make six figures in 4 months. Like,
oh yeah,
run, because that's not how this works. You know, it's not how
that's
health
right.
works. It's not how business works. So both of those things, run. There is no quick fix when it comes to truly getting better and staying better. And, you know, I've been called excessive. I've been called, you know, kind of like a hypochondriac. I've been, you know, so it can be tough when you walk that, when you're a practitioner
sure.
actually walks the walk, right? But I'm a living testament to what can be accomplished when you do walk the walk, you know? So
that's right.
Thank you for standing in your truth, especially Aww. in a
thank
place
you.
That's not always welcomed or
yeah.
well, right?
Well, I tell you, I mean, I've always had a well-developed bitch flag, right? I mean, I have no problem being a hard ass and speaking my mind, but certainly having 4 autoimmune diseases and working my ass off for 15 years, a lot of it on my own, to try and get my health back, and, you know, knowing everything that I know about gluten and wheat and the health risks associated with that particular food for everyone. I mean, there's just no way anyone could convince me to shut up about it, right? And I think we need voices like you and me out there that are willing to say, you know what? It's okay that I'm a hard ass. It's okay that I don't sugarcoat and that I don't want to tell you what you want to hear and that, you know, it makes you sad because I'm telling you have to give up gluten forever. It's okay. That's my job.
Right.
Right. And if I don't do that, I am not ethical. I shouldn't be practicing. I don't have any business taking your money.
Absolutely.
Right.
One of my biggest lessons right now is to develop a thicker skin, because
yeah.
I have no problem being the hard ass and telling the truth. But the minute it comes and bites, you know, another person's projections, right?
Yeah.
It is. You're challenging. Think, you know, the way they show and express love, you know, or our community with their friends. Like, there's a lot of
yes.
weird stuff that's tied up with food that shouldn't be tied up with food. Like, we lost our way a long time ago on, you know, food is fuel first and foremost. And we now use it to celebrate. We now use it to numb out. And we now use it to, you know, fill in the blank. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just like anything else, when we get too far off the mark of how humans are supposed to live, that's why we're getting into so much trouble. And
yes.
sometimes to be the one out there on the mountaintop screaming it, you know, and people are throwing eggs at you, you know, and like I said, I need to work on a little bit tougher skin, because I like being the hard ass, but then I don't like what comes after that.
Yeah. Yes. The fallout. I know.
I'm like,
I know. It's really true. And I think part of developing a thicker skin has been really having firm boundaries, even when it's not in my financial best interest as a business person. You know, like really knowing, okay, I can't take this person on as a client because they aren't coachable in a way I need them to be coachable in order for them to get better. So I can't in good faith take their money.
Right.
That's a hard decision to make as a business person. You got bills to pay.
Absolutely.
You know? And it's also hard because you know that there are plenty of Instagram influencers out there who are happy to take their money and tell them what they want to hear.
Right.
And so the last thing you want to do is throw them out into the abyss, right? To be taken advantage of. But, you know, if you don't come to a health coach like you and like myself with 100% commitment, willing to do whatever it takes to reclaim your health, don't waste the phone call. Don't waste the money. Just enjoy all of your indulgences and live as long as you can, because really it's not worth that fight.
No, not at all. Not at all. You know, it was funny when I went through the FDN program, so freaking sick with Lyme disease and three mm-hmm. autoimmune diseases. When my health coach told me to jump, I asked how high. And I thought that's everybody right. who were sick, you know, had that same level of commitment. Yeah. And I'm actually finding out that that's not the case. There's a lot of people who talk the talk, but they, when it comes down to actually doing the work.
Yeah. Well, that brings me back to, I mean, I don't know if this is true for you, but I certainly had my rock bottom moment where it was really, I didn't want to be on the earth anymore.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. I didn't have like suicidal thoughts, but I didn't want to exist in my body anymore. And that is a very dark place to be. So I'm not saying everyone has to get there in order to have 100% commitment to their health, but it's really easy to go all in when you've hit rock bottom.
Absolutely. 100%. And most folks in the Lyme world, you know, that's the, you know, the top way, you know, people with Lyme disease die is through suicide typically. Yeah. So it's we're not a stranger to that type of thing. And then I was definitely at rock bottom. I don't think though, I heard a lot of the stuff outside of FDN until I was in FDN. And so all of it was so fascinating and made sense to me. And I think that's why it was easy for me to jump on board, to where like these days you do have that gluten-free buzzword and people who have tried the gluten-free diet, you know, but no, you really didn't. Cause it was even funny when I ran my Zoomer 4 or 5 years ago and it popped and I was like, what the?
I know.
Ah, mousse. It was in the freaking mousse that I was using, you know? Yes. So, I mean, like you find it in the weirdest, but you know, after so many years, sometimes you get a little complacent. And so I started ripping through everything and reading all the ingredients, and I found it in my conditioner and I found it in my mousse. And I was like, you gotta be kidding me.
And it's in your makeup. It's in your mascara. I mean, it's everywhere. I even had a client who, and you know, I love my clients because they're just like so, you know, so in it, right? And so committed. And I had this one client that found out he got a Traeger grill and found out that, you know, they sell these different, I guess what, wood chips with different smoking sort of flavors. And he had the good sense to say, how do you get the flavors into your wood chips? You know, do you have an ingredients? And he told the person, he said, I have celiac disease, even though he didn't. And there was wheat derived ingredients in three of their Traeger briquettes that they offered. And he's like, I would have never known if I hadn't known that it could be anywhere, right? And to really think about those, because I talk about like the flavorings and the spices, that's a really dangerous place to go, right? Natural flavorings. But yeah, he found it in that, you know, who thinks about that kind of stuff?
It's horrible too, that we do have to lie about celiac sometimes, because I swear to God, people don't take you seriously unless you use the celiac word. And I think that needs to freaking change as well, because what the hell is it to you what my health is if I am avoiding something? Answer my fucking question.
Exactly. And and one of the really detrimental things, results of that is that not only do people think it's less serious, so like the wait staff doesn't take you as seriously at a restaurant, yada, yada, but the person with the gluten sensitivity gets the message that it's less serious than celiac disease. Like, oh, well, at least I don't have celiac disease. Wait a minute. No.
If you had celiac disease,
well, there's that. But also if you had celiac disease, your outcomes would probably be better because you'd have better care, better follow-up. You'd have, a better response from people taking you seriously, right? So, but non-celiac gluten sensitivity is just as serious. It can lead to some very serious autoimmune conditions that are a hell of a lot worse than having celiac disease, right? And harder to unravel.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, my dear, this was such a freaking pleasure. I knew we'd have just so much fun geeking out. This is the shameless plug, you know, time of the show. So how can people find you? You know, what do you got out there right now? Like, I would love for you to share that.
Sure. So you can find me at Whitney Morgan Nutrition. That's my website. That's me on Instagram and Facebook and LinkedIn. I've got a couple of one-on-one packages with people for private health coaching, but in all honesty, I have a waiting list. I'm not taking a lot of private clients right now because I'm involved in another venture with a business partner. It's called the Functional Health Alliance, and it is a free space. You can find us on Facebook. There's a private Facebook group, but it's really for people with chronic illness who need private coaching. They need expert evidence-based guidance, but they can't afford that top dollar stuff that they need. So where do they go? Rather than going to Google or going to Instagram influencers who are lying to you, come to the Functional Health Alliance, because my business partner, Paula Reed, and I, we're both functional diagnostic nutrition practitioners like you, Heather. We've been in this space for a long time, and we are in this group or in this Facebook group every single day. We offer free coaches' office hours. So it's kind of like going to see your college professor during their office hours. Okay, you can come see us for free during our office hours. We have low-cost courses, free courses, and we've just launched our first 10-week group program, which is designed to really heal the metabolic injury that is at the root of a lot of chronic illness. A lot of people actually join the program because one of the inevitable side effects of the program is pretty rapid, effortless, enjoyable weight loss. But that's not the purpose of it. The purpose is really to heal the metabolic injury and to coach up the metabolic flexibility and resilience again, so that your body knows how to do what it knows how to do, right? And it can return to balance. But that's what I'm super excited about. And that's what I'd love. That's where I'd love people to find me, is inside the Functional Health Alliance, because it's, I just think that it has the greatest potential to do the greatest good for the most people. And it's where my passion is right now.
That's awesome. I can totally tell, like, the difference between your energy level. You're like, Whitney Morgan, blah, 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 blah. But let me tell you about, but wait. So I was like, I'm like, you should just leave that first part out. Just focus on the
right,
health alliance.
Right.
But yeah. No, it's awesome. Thank you again so much for joining me, Whitney. I so appreciate everything you're doing in the world and how you helped shaped me and continue to how to, you know, shape other FDNs. You're just a truly blessing to this world, and don't stop being a hard ass. I love it. I love you.
Back at you, honey.
Awesome.
Thanks so much.
Everybody else, make sure to have a healthy day.
Thanks. Bye, everybody.